This week is going to be Shavuot, and in Shavuot we read Megillas Rut. Our shir today is going to be on Megillas Rut, particularly on chapter 2. And we are going to focus mostly on Pasuk number 12 and Pasuk number 14. But before we do that, we're going to repeat the story, and we're also going to highlight certain points. In chapter 2, we find that Ruth decides that she is going to go in the fields and glean the grains that belongs to the poor in order to support herself and Naomi, and she happens to go to the field of Boaz. Boaz is coming back from Bethlehem, and he tells the harvesters, Hashem imachem, that Hashem is with you, and they tell him, Yevorechecho Hashem, that Hashem should bless you. Then on Pasuk number 5, Boaz asks the one in charge of the harvesters, Lemi hanaro hazois, to whom does this girl belong? And the harvester tells Boaz, Nara Moaviahi, she's a Moabite girl, Hashavo im Noami, Misdei Moav, who came back with Noami from the fields of Moav. Regarding the question that Boaz asked, Lemi hanaro hazois, to whom does this girl belong? Rashi asks, Vechidarko shel Boaz, Bishop Anoshim, is that the custom or the way of Boaz to inquire about the women? Meaning, if he saw a woman, he would inquire who that woman was. Rashi answers, Elo divret tznius vechochma roba. He saw things of modesty and wisdom in her. What did he see? Dalach eish teishi bolim lokta, that if it falls two stalks, she takes shloisha, three, ein lokta, she doesn't take. Because that's the law regarding leket, that if two stalks fall, you're allowed to take it. But if three fall, then they belong to the owner, and you're not allowed to take it. And also he saw modesty, that if she saw the stalk standing, she used to pick him up standing. And if she saw the stalk laying on the ground, she didn't bend over to pick it up, just used to sit down and pick it up, which shows modesty. The Chasam Sofer asks a few questions. He asks, first of all, we ask the question, is the custom of Boaz to inquire about women? And we answer that he saw that she's following Halacha and that she's modest. Still, is it the custom of Boaz to inquire about women that are modest and follow Halacha? And furthermore, what's so surprising that she's following Halacha? You want to tell me that the Jewish in that generation did not follow Halacha? That they would steal from the fields? Or you want to tell me that the Jewish women in that generation were immodest? That when Boaz saw a modest woman, he was so surprised that he had to inquire about her? Therefore, the Chasam Sofer answers that what bothered Boaz is the fact that there were still poor women. Meaning that in Parshas Re'eh, in chapter 15, verse number 4, the Pasuk there is talking about Shemitah, about the sabbatical year, that if somebody owes you money, you have to relinquish your notes and your debt. And then the Pasuk says that even though I tell you to relinquish the debt, don't think that there are going to be many poor people. It's written, Efes kiloye b'cho evyoin, but however, may there be no destitute people. Because Hashem is going to bless you on the land that Hashem gives you as an inheritance. Meaning that even though Hashem tells us to relinquish our debt, but that is not because Hashem wants to help the poor person, because there won't be any poor people. So we see that there won't be any poor people. Rashi asks that this seems to be a contradiction with Pasuk 11. In Pasuk 11 tells you that you should open up your hands to the poor, because the Pasuk says there, Ki lo yechdal evyon mikerev oretz, because destitute people will not cease to exist from the earth. Al ken anochi mitzavcho aleimor, therefore I'm commanding you, saying, Pasuch tiftach es yadcho, that you should surely open your hand to the poor. Then you see clearly that there is going to be poor people. Then we have a clear contradiction. In Pasuk number 4 says, Kiloye b'cho evyon, that there won't be poor people amongst you. And then In Pasuk number 11, the Torah tells you clearly that the destitute people will not cease from the earth. That means that there are always going to be poor people. Then what is it? Are there going to be poor people or aren't there going to be poor people? Rashi answers that in truth, there is always going to be poor people. But depends. If you do the will of Hashem, then lo yiyeh becha evyoin. Amongst you, there won't be any poor people. Meaning, amongst the Jewish people, there won't be any poor, but there will be poor in other nations. But if you don't do the will of Hashem, then the poor people are going to be amongst you. According to this, the Chasam Sofer says that since we know that in the time of Boaz, as Noami testified, Ki pokat Hashem es amoi, lo says lohem lechem, that Hashem had remembered the Jewish people to give them bread, that means that at this point they were meritorious. And specifically, since Boaz was the Tzadik Hadar, the righteous person of that generation, then obviously his merit would have been strong enough that there shouldn't be any poor people in his surrounding. Therefore, when Boaz came to his field and he saw this woman acting modestly and gleaning according to Halacha, Boaz wrongly assumed that she is a Israelis, that she is a Jewish born woman, and Boaz was worried maybe there is something wrong amongst the people, meaning maybe there was a sin that caused this woman to become poor, because only Jewish women follow halacha and are modest. Converts and other people who come to glean the fields usually don't know the halacha so well, and they are also immodest because that is their upbringing. Therefore, when Boaz saw this woman following halacha and modest, Boaz decided to ask the person in charge of the harvesters, Lemi hanara azois, to whom does this woman or this girl belong? Whereas the person in charge of the harvesters told him that this is not a Jewish woman. Fortunately, all the Jewish-born women are not poor, because you are a righteous person, and because of your merit, there aren't any poor people amongst us. But this woman is a convert who came from Sde Moav, who came from the fields of Moav. After Boaz finds out that she is Ruth, Boaz goes over to her and says that, please, my daughter, do not go gleaning in other fields. Stay in my fields. I have told my harvesters that they shouldn't bother you, and I also told them that they should draw up water for you. Ruth falls on her face and bows to Boaz and says, why have I found favor in your eyes that you take notice of me, though I'm a stranger? Boaz answers that hugadli, it was told to me, kol asher osisas chamoisech achra moisishech, everything you did to your mother-in-law after your husband died, and vatazvi avich v'imech v'eretz mulatech, and you left your father and mother and the land of your birth, vatelchi el am asher yodat tmol shilshom, and you came to a nation that you did not know from before. And now we're going to Pasuk number 12, where the Pasuk says, Yeshalem Hashem Paalech, Hashem should reward your action, Utehi Maskurtech Shleima, Me'im Hashem Elokei Yisrael, and your reward should be complete from Hashem, God of Israel, Asher Bas Lachsois Tachas Knafav, that you came to take refuge under his wing. On these words, the Medrash Rabbah in Rut, Parsha Hei, Siman Dalot brings, Omar Rabchase says, Asher Bos Lachsois Tachas Knafav, that you came to take refuge under his wings. And all the Meforshim are asking, what is Rabchase coming to add? Because Rabchase basically is repeating the words that Boaz says, because Boaz says, V'tu maskurtech shleima, that your reward should be complete, Asher bos lachso is tachas knofov, because you came to take refuge under his wing. And Rab Chassa says the same words, Asher bos lachso is tachas knofov, that you came to take refuge under his wings. Then what did Rab Chassa add? And what was bothering Rab Chassa that he had to duplicate this statement? To answer this question, I first want to bring El Chasam Sofer, where the Chasam Sofer explains this pasuk, and the Chasam Sofer is bothered by the language Tehi Maskurtech Shleima, that you should have complete reward. And the Chasam Sofer explains that since the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph 31a says in the name of Rab Chanina, Gadol HaMetzuve VeOise, Mishe'eno Metzuve VeOise, that somebody who is commanded and does something gets a greater reward than somebody who is not commanded and does something, meaning that if you volunteer for something, you get a lesser reward than when you are commanded. And Tosfos explains the reason for it is that when you are not commanded, you could just leave it and you have no challenges. But once you are commanded, you worry if you are going to be able to fulfill your obligation and you are nervous the whole time. Also, when you are commanded to do something, then the Yetzer Hara stands in your way, because the job of the evil inclination is to block you from doing what Hashem commands you. Therefore, if you are able to overcome your evil inclination, Hashem gives you a great reward. But when you volunteer, then the evil inclination doesn't have the requirement to stop you from volunteering. Therefore, since you don't have to overcome such a great evil inclination, you don't get such reward. And the Chasam Sofer explains the same thing applied to Ruth, that while she was not Jewish, while she did a chesed to her mother-in-law after the husband's death, she was still not Jewish, then she would get a reward, but that reward would not be complete. But now that she came to rest under Hashem, meaning she converted and now she's Jewish, and now she's commanded to do chesed, now her reward is going to be shleima, is going to be complete, because she's going to get a greater reward since she's now commanded to do it. I wanted to say that this Chasam Sofer is answering also another question, and the question is, how can Boaz say Timas Kurtach Shleima, that your reward is going to be complete, when we know the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Tes Omed Beis 39b says in the name of Rav Yaakov, the Schar Mitzvah Bahai Al Maleke, that Hashem does not give reward for mitzvahs in this world. If Hashem doesn't give rewards for mitzvahs in this world, what does Boaz mean to say by Teuma Skurtech Shleima, that your reward should be complete? How can the reward be complete if you do not get reward in this world? And according to this Chasam Sofer, we could say that the meaning of the words Teuma Skurtech Shleima means that you are going to get greater reward in the world to come. It doesn't mean you're going to get complete reward in this world, because truly, Schar Mitzvah by Ha'al Malaika, Hashem doesn't give reward for mitzvahs in this world, but the reward that you are going to get in the world to come is going to be Shlema, is going to be complete, since now you are converted and you are Metzuveh Ve'oise and you are obligated to do it. Therefore, Hashem is going to give you a complete reward in the world to come. According to this idea, I wanted to answer Rab Chassa's statement that Rab Chassa says, again, the words, Asher Boslachsus Tachas Knofov, that you came to take refuge under his wings, which means that you came to convert. I wanted to say that Rab Chassa's statement is coming to answer the question, how can Boaz say, Tumas Kurtech Shleima, that you're going to get the complete reward, if Schar Mitzvah Ba'al Maleke, if you can get reward in this world? Meaning that because you came to take refuge under Hashem, you are able to get Schar Mitzvah Ba'ai Alma Schar Mitzvah in this world. Because the Marsha in Soita Daf Yudalet Omed Aleph says that there is an exception to the rule that Schar Mitzvah Ba'ai Alma Leke, that there is no reward in this world, and that is HaMekayim Mitzvah Shlo Yechayev Ba V'Ichnisom L'Chiev, that if somebody makes a mitzvah that he wouldn't be normally obligated to do it, and then he puts himself in a position that he becomes obligated to do it, for a mitzvah like that, Hashem gives reward in this world. And I wanted to say that this fits exactly what the Chasam Sofer meant to say. Because according to the Chasam Sofer, Ruth did chesed while she was not Jewish, then she was not obligated to do it. And she decided that she is going to put herself in a position to be obligated to do chesed, and the way she did that is by converting. Then comes out that the reason that she became obligated now is because she converted, and once she put herself in a position to be obligated, according to the Marsha, she would get reward in this world. And that is exactly what Rav Chassid says. Rav Chassid is trying to explain how is she going to get reward in this world. The reason is Shebas Lachsois Tachas Knafov, that she came to take refuge under the wings of Hashem, which means that she converted, and because she converted, she became obligated now to do chesed, to do kindness, and once she put herself in a position to be obligated, and she did it, she deserves to get reward in this world, and that's why Boaz could say, Tumas Kurtech Shleima, that your reward is going to be complete in this world. Another answer I wanted to give on this Rav Chassid is based on the Ksav Sofer from Parshas Ekev. There the pasuk says on Devarim chapter 7 verse number 12, Vayu Ekev Tishun Es HaMishpatim Oile, it will be the reward if you're going to listen to these ordinances, and Hashem there lists the rewards which are physical rewards, and the Ksav Sofer asks a question, how can Hashem promise us physical rewards for performing mitzvahs when we know that Schar Mitzvah Bahai Al-Maleke, that Hashem doesn't give rewards for mitzvahs in this world. And the Ksav Sofer answers based on the first Rashi on Parshas Ekev. Rashi explains why is it written in the language Ekev Tishmeun. It will be as a reward that you are going to listen. Why isn't it written V'hoyu Im Tishmeun? It will be if you are going to listen. Rashi answers that the Torah is hinting that ima mitzvahs akalois she'odom dosh ba'kev of tishmun, if the light mitzvahs that a person tramples on his feet you're going to listen, then Hashem is going to give you the physical rewards described in the parsha. Meaning that the Torah specifically used the language ekev as because ekev also means a heel. That the Torah also wants to hint to you that if you do the light mitzvahs that a person tramples on with his heel, then Hashem will give you the reward. The Ksav Sofer uses this idea, and he says that the Torah is trying to answer why Hashem is going to give you the reward in this world. And the answer is that Ekev Tishmeun, the fact that you use your heel to do mitzvahs, Hashem will give you the reward. Meaning, the effort that you put in by going to the mitzvahs, by walking to the mitzvahs, Hashem is going to give you the reward. Because the mitzvah itself, Hashem cannot give you the reward in this world, because since the mitzvah is spiritual, then Hashem gives you the reward in the spiritual world, which is the world to come. But since you are walking and you are putting your physical effort into the mitzvah, for that physical effort, Hashem gives you the reward in the physical world, which means Hashem gives you the reward in this world. Based on this Ksav Sofer, I wanted to answer that this is what Rav Chassid is trying to explain in the Medrash, because since Boaz told Ruth Tehei Maskurtech Shleima, that you are going to get your complete reward, which normally is meant that she's going to get the reward in this world, then the question arises, we know that Schar Mitzvah Bahaya Maleke, that Hashem doesn't give reward for mitzvahs in this world, therefore Rav Chassid says that the reward comes Asher Boaz Lachso Istachas Knofov, for the fact that you came to take refuge under the wings of Hashem, meaning the fact that you came all the way from Moab, the fact that you put this effort by walking to convert, for that effort you deserve to have Maskurtech Shleima, your complete reward in this world, because when you put your effort, then Hashem gives you the reward in this world. Sofer explains that the reason why Schar Mitzvah Bahai Al-Maleke, why Hashem doesn't give reward for mitzvahs in this world, is because Hashem wants you to make the mitzvahs for Hashem's sake. Because Hashem is afraid that if He gives you the reward for mitzvahs in this world, then when you make the mitzvahs, you will not think about Hashem, you will think about the rewards that you get in this world, because you want to get physical rewards, therefore you make the mitzvahs. Hashem wanted you to make the mitzvah for the proper reason, which means that you should make the mitzvah just for Hashem. Therefore, Schar Mitzvah Bahal Al-Maleke. And the Das Sofer explains that this doesn't apply to Ruth. Because since Ruth was a Bas Melochim, a daughter of kings, and she had a lot of wealth and a lot of power, and she gave everything up in order to become close to Hashem, in order to recognize the truth, then obviously she showed that physical rewards are not her motivation, that her motivation is only to give covet to Hashem, to give glory to Hashem. Therefore, after Boaz said, Tumas kurtech shleima, that you are supposed to get your full reward in this world, then the question arises, why does she deserve the full reward in this world when we know there is a rule that schar mitzvah b'hai al-malek, that Hashem doesn't give reward for mitzvahs in this world? Then comes Rab Chassa to answer that the reason she gets the full reward is asher bas lachsois tachas knafav, that you came to convert even though you were a daughter of a king. By doing that, you showed that your motivation is not physical rewards. If that is not your motivation, then you're entitled to get rewards in this world, because Hashem doesn't have to be afraid that if He gives you those rewards in this world, you are not going to be properly motivated when you do the mitzvahs. Therefore, Boaz could say, Tumas kurtech shleima, that you are entitled for your complete reward in this world. The Chasam Sofer gives another interpretation on this statement of Rav Chassa, but to do that, he uses a Yalkut Shimoni en route, Remes Tov Reish Beis, where there the Yalkut Shimoni plays with the words of Boaz, when Boaz says, Teumas kurtech shleima, that your reward should be complete. The Yalkut Shimoni says that it doesn't mean shleima complete, Teumas kurtech, that your reward is going to be shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech is going to be your reward. So he says, Merames HaShlomo HaMelech, that Boaz was hinting to Ruth regarding Shlomo HaMelech, Shechoyso Ruth, that Ruth was alive, Ad Sheruaso Ben Bna Shlomo HaMelech, Olav HaSholom Yoishev Al Kisoy, until she saw her great-grandson Shlomo HaMelech sitting on the throne. As it's written in Malachim Aleph, chapter 2, verse number 19, Vayosem Kisei Le'em HaMelech, that he put a throne for the mother of the kingdom. And the Gemara in Baba Basra, Dav Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis 91b, writes down that she put a throne Li'ima Shel Malchus, to the mother of the kingdom. And the Gemara there says that this is regarding Ruth HaMoaviyah, that Ruth saw her great-grandson Shlomo HaMelech sitting on his throne, and to that Boaz alluded by saying Tumas kurtech shleima, which we are supposed to read Tumas kurtech shloima, that your reward is going to be Shlomo HaMelech. The Chasam Sofer then brings the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Ches Omed Beis 38b, where there the Gemara is analyzing the story in Parshas Vayera, where Lot and his daughters are in a cave, and the daughters thought that Hashem destroyed all humanity, and they are the only ones alive in the world, and they wanted to make Pru Urvu, they wanted to populate the world. Then they decided to get their father drunk and have relations with the father in order to populate the world. And the Pasuk in Bereshis, chapter 19, verse number 33, describes that in the first night he had relations with his older daughter, and in the second night he had relations with his younger daughter, and out of these relationships came out the true tribes, Moab and Ammon. And the Gemara says, "Omar Rabchia bar Abba, Omar Rabshua ben Karcha," that Rabchia bar Abba said in the name of Rabshua ben Karcha, "Le oilam yakdim odom lidvar mitzvah," that a person should always try to be the first to make a mitzvah. And the Gemara explains why, "Shabishvil lailo achas," that because of one night, "Shekadmasa bechira letzira," that the older daughter of Lot had relations with Lot one night before the youngest daughter of Lot had relationship with him. That means that she wanted to make the mitzvah before the other one, and all it was is one night. Because of that, Ruth merited to come into Jewish fold four generations before Ammon merited to come in the Jewish fold. Because regarding Rehavam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech, it's written in Malachim Aleph, chapter 14, verse number 21, V'shem Imoy Noam Amonis, that the name of Rehoboam's mother was Noamah the Ammonite, which means that Noamah the Ammonite was the wife of Shlomo HaMelech, and between Ruth and Shlomo HaMelech, there are four generations, which is Ovid, Ishai, David, and Shlomo. So we see that four generations after Ruth HaMoaviah came into the Jewish fold, that is when Noamah HaMoinis came to the Jewish fold, and the simple interpretation of the Gemara is that this is because the oldest daughter of Lot decided to make the mitzvah before the youngest daughter of Lot decided to. The Chasam Sofer explains that this Gemara is even deeper, that we see also that there is a big difference between Ruth and Noamah, meaning that Ruth decided on her own to come and join the Jewish people. She was not forced, and she did not do it because somebody coerced her to do it. Quite opposite, Noemi, her mother-in-law, tried to dissuade her to come join the Jewish people, but Ruth decided that she wants by herself to join the Jewish people, whereas Noamah HaMoinis only joined the Jewish people after she married Shlomo HaMelech, where Shlomo HaMelech insisted that she converts, but she didn't do it on her own. According to this, says the Chasam Sofer, that had Ruth not converted on her own, even if I say that this was in the merit of the oldest daughter of Lot, that she had also the characteristic that she wanted to make the mitzvahs on her own because she initiated the relationship with Lot the same way that Ruth decided to join the Jewish people on her own. But had she not done on her own, she would have at least been at the generation of Shlomo HaMelech, because Noamah, which came from the second daughter, which she didn't do on her own, and Noamah also didn't do on her own, they joined the Jewish people at the generation of Shlomo HaMelech, and they merited to see him on his throne. Then the Chasam Sofer says that it is not fair that just because Ruth decided to join the Jewish people earlier, that she should lose out and not merit to see Shlomo HaMelech on his throne. It is not fair that she should be punished for her good action. And the Chasam Sofer explains that this is exactly what Boaz was hinting to Ruth. When Boaz told Ruth, "V'teimas kurtech shleima," that you are going to get your full reward, what does it mean you are going to get your full reward? That means that you are going to have Shlomo, that you are going to marry to see Shlomo HaMelech. And the question is, why are you going to marry to see Shlomo HaMelech? Asher baslach so is tachas knofov, because you came to take refuge under the wings of Hashem, which means that you decided that you are going to convert. Then comes Rab Chassa and explains why is she getting such a reward, why specifically is her reward that she is going to see Shlomo HaMelech, and the answer is Asher bas lach so is tachas knofov, because she initiated it, she decided to go earlier and convert earlier. That's why she deserves to have the honor to see Shlomo HaMelech. Because Noamah HaMoinis, who came late to the Jewish people and didn't initiate the conversion by herself, still merited to see the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. Ruth HaMoaviah, who came early and initiated the conversion on her own, deserves at least as much as Noamah. Therefore, her reward is that she is going to marry to see Shlomo HaMelech. And that is what Rab Chassa is trying to explain, that her reward comes because she initiated and came to convert. We are going to continue with Megillas Ruth. After Boaz told her that, then Ruth tells him that, "May I continue to find favor in your eyes because you have comforted me and because you have spoken to the heart of your maidservant, though I'm not even worthy as one of your maidservant." Then on Pasuk Yudalet, "Vayomer lo Boaz le'esa oichel," Boaz told her at the mealtime, "Goishi haloim, come over here, v'chal min alechem, and you should eat from the bread, v'tovalt piteich b'choymetz, and you should dip your bread." And the Pasuk says, "Vateishev mitzad ha'koisim," that she sat beside the harvesters, "v'itzbot lo koli," and he handed her parched grain, "Vatoichal," and she ate, "Vatizba," and she became satisfied, "Vatoisar," and she had some leftover. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kof Yud Gimel, Omed Beis, 113b, analyzes this pasuk. The Gemara says that the pasuk says, "Vayoymelo Boaz," that Boaz told her, "Le'esa oichel," at the mealtime, "Goyshe aloim," come over here. And the term "aloim" is a very rare term in Tanakh. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Omar Rabbi Lazar," that Rabbi Lazar said, "Remes Ramazlo," by using the word "halom," Boaz was hinting to her that Asido Malchus Beis David Lotzeis Mimeko, that the kingdom of David HaMelech will eventually come out of you. How do I know that? Dichsiv Bei Halom, because by David HaMelech we also find this uncommon term halom, because in Shmuel 2, chapter 7, verse number 18, Nosson, the prophet, brings King David a message from Hashem saying that David HaMelech's descendants will be kings of Israel for all time. And then David HaMelech is overwhelmed, and the pasuk says, "Vayavo Melech David," that the King David came, "Vayeshev v'nei Hashem," and he sat in front of Hashem, "Vayomer," and he said, "Mi anochi Hashem Elohim? Who am I, Hashem? Umi veisi? And what is my house? Ki evi oisani adaloim, that you have brought me until here, and here by David means the promise that Nosson had told them that Hashem made, that his sons are going to be kings forever. Therefore, Rabbi Lezer says that when Boaz told Ruth, "Geshi haloim, come here," he was referring to the same "here" that David HaMelech was saying, which means that the descendants of David are going to be kings forever. And Rashi explains that a divinely inspired word was thrown into the lips of Boaz, and he mentioned the words "Geshi Haloim" to hint to her that if she comes close, she'll merit to have that Haloim, that here that David HaMelech is referring, that she will be the matriarch of all the kings that will come out of David HaMelech. The Gemara continues analyzing the rest of the pasuk, where it says, "V'tibalt pitech bechoymes," and you should dip your bread in vinegar. The Gemara says, "Rab Shmuel ben Achmani Omar," that Rab Shmuel ben Achmani says, "Remes Romazlo," that Boaz hinted to her, "Osit bein lotzis mimeko," that a son will come out of you, "Shemasov koshim kechoymes," that his actions are as hard or as sharp or as bitter as vinegar. "Umanoi," and who is that person? "Menashe." Menashe was an evil king, and that evil king will come out of you. Therefore, he told her that you should dip your bread in vinegar to tell her that one of her descendants will act as vinegar, which means that he'll act in a bad way. Rav Wolfson, in his Sefer Emunah Sitecho, asks a very strong question. He says that we have a law, "Loisoinu es ager," that we are not allowed to agree a convert, meaning that you are not allowed to say words that will cause a convert to be sad or to be pained. Then why did Boaz decide to hint to Ruth that one of her descendants is going to be a Rasha, a evil man? And even if you are going to say that Ruth had to assume that since she comes from bad lineage, that she'll have one of her children acting bad, in the same way that Avraham Avinu had to have Ishmael and Yitzchak had to have Esav in order to purify the lineage, so too Ruth would have to assume that one of her children is going to act in a bad way. But nonetheless, there is still the prohibition of not aggrieving the convert, even if the convert knows that this is going to happen. But by you saying it, that will cause her pain, and we're not allowed to cause pain to a convert. Then how is it possible that Boaz decided to tell this to Ruth at this point? Rav Wolfson answers this question based on the Yalkut Shimoni on Bereishis Remes Tov Kof Mem Vav on the Pasuk on chapter 27, verse 27, where there Yaakov Avinu is taking the place of Esav when Esav was asked by Yitzchak to go hunt, and Yitzchak is having doubts if this is in fact Esav or it's somebody else. Then Yitzchak asks Yaakov to come close to him. Then the pasuk says, "Vayigash," and he came close, "Vaishak lo," and he kissed him, "Vayorach esreach begadov," and he smelled the smell of his clothes, and he blessed him. The Madrash says that we should not read the word as begadov, as the smell of the clothing, but we should read boigdov, that we should read the smell of his treacherous, meaning that even the treacherous among the Jews still smell good. And the Madrash gives two examples of Yosef Meshicha and Yaakov Mishteroirois, which originally they were treacherous to the Jewish people, but eventually they repented. So you see that even the treacherous amongst the Jews also smell good. Rav Ulsu continues and brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kif Beis Omed Beis, 102b, where there the Gemara is analyzing the people who don't have a portion of the world to come. And the Mishnah in the beginning of Achelik on 90a mentions that Yeravam ben Nevat, Achav, and Menashe, because they are so evil, they don't have a portion in the world to come. The Gemara in 102b says that Rav Ashi oike ashloisha melochim, that Rav Ashi happened to stop the shir right before he discussed these three kings. Omar, and he told the students, Lemachar niftach b'chavrin, tomorrow we should commence our studies with our colleagues, meaning that he called these three kings colleagues. Also Menashe is chazal b'chamei, Menashe appeared to him in a dream. Omar, he says, Chavrach v'chavrach d'avich, Choreslan, you are calling us your colleagues or the colleagues of your fathers, meaning, how dare you call us colleagues when we are far superior than you. To prove this point, the king Menashe proceeds to test Rav Ashi with a minor law. The king Menashe asks, Me'echa bois le mishra hamoitzi, from where are you supposed to break the loaf of bread when you say hamoitzi? Meaning you have a loaf of bread and you are supposed to make hamoitzi and break the bread in a particular part. Which part of the bread do you break after you say hamoitzi? Amalei, Rav Ashi tells him, Lo yodana, I do not know this halacha. Amalei, King Menashe tells him, Me'echa de bois le mishra hamoitzi lo gemirt. Where you're supposed to break the bread after you say Amoitzi, you have not learned. The Chavrach Korosline, and you're calling us your colleagues? How dare you call us colleagues when you don't even know such simple law? Omar Lei, Rav Ashi tells King Menashe, Agmarali, please teach me this halacha. Ulemachar darishnaloi mishmach bepirka. And tomorrow I promise that I will teach it in your name during the lecture. Omar Lei, King Menashe answers him, Meheche de karem bishulei, from where the cooking is crusted, meaning where the bread is the most baked, that's where you're supposed to start when you break for challah. As a matter of fact, this is in fact the halacha in Shulchan Aruch Orachaim Simen Kaf Samach Zayin Sif Aleph. But let's continue with the Gemara. The Gemara says that Omalei, that Rav Ashi told King Menashe, Ma'acher de Chakimsu, Kulahai, since you are so smart, my tamek kapochisu lavoides kechavim, why did you worship idols? Amalei, King Menashe tells him, I haves asam, that had you been there, meaning in our time, havenachtina b'shifula gelima, verhata basra, you would have picked up the bottom of your garment, and you would have ran after us, meaning that you would have also worshipped idols. Because the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination for committing idolatry at that time was very strong. After the Anshe Knesset HaGadoyla at the beginning of the Second Temple cancelled the evil inclination of idolatry, now it's not so hard not to commit idolatry, not to bow to idols. But before they cancelled out the evil inclination of idolatry, that inclination was very strong and it was very hard not to commit idolatry. The Gemara says that Lemachor, the next day, Omalul Rabbanu, he tells the rabbis, Niftach Brabevoso, let's start discussing these three kings, but he said, let's start with our rabbis, referring to the three kings. That Rav Ashi learned the lesson, and now he's referring to King Menashe and the other two kings as his rabbis. As a matter of fact, we see that King Menashe is the source for the halacha that we are supposed to break bread where it's mostly baked. Comes out that every time somebody breaks bread and he follows the halacha, then he gives merit to the King Menashe because he is the one who taught us this halacha. According to this, Rav Wolfson in Sefer Emunah Techo explains that this is exactly what Boaz was trying to tell Ruth. Meaning that Ruth knew that one of her descendants would have to be bad, since she comes from bad lineage. In the same way that Avraham Avinu's descendants had to be bad, because he came from bad lineage. That's why he had Ishmael, and that's why Yitzchak had Esav, because you needed to purify his children. But what she did not know is that even the bad Jews are also very lofty people. As we mentioned previously, that Yitzchak smelled the Reyach Boigdov, the smell of the treacherous Jews, and he saw that they are also lofty people. In the same way that Menashe, even though he was an evil king and an idol worshipper, nonetheless, he taught us this halacha that when you break bread, you have to start where the bread is crusted, meaning where it's the most baked. And that is exactly what Boaz is telling Ruth, that v'achaltan alechem, that when you're going to eat the bread, don't forget v'tovalt pitach b'chametz, that you are going to dip your bread in vinegar, meaning even though one of your descendants is going to be a vinegar and is going to be evil, but don't worry about it. He is still going to be a lofty person because he's going to teach us the halachas of bread. And that's why he's telling that you should take your bread and dip your bread in the vinegar. Don't look only at the vinegar. Look what is going to happen to the halachas of bread that we learn from King Menashe. And in fact, Boaz wasn't trying to aggrieve and cause Ruth pain. Quite opposite. He was giving her hope that even though one of her descendants is going to be evil, meaning Menashe is going to be evil, nonetheless, he is still going to teach us the halachas regarding bread. And Hashem Yisburach should help that while we are reading this story of Megillas Ruth, which, as we mentioned, she is the matriarch of David HaMelech, which has the promise that his descendants are going to be kings forever, that we should merit to see his descendants come, meaning Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.